Our speaker for today, he is a regular speaker, so I know everybody knows him. He is part of our family here in Hudson, elder and a brother. Let's welcome to the pulpit, Elder Brad Sinkowski.
Good morning, church. I said, good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. God is good.
All the time.
All the time? All the time. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I am just thankful to be here today and look out there and truly say, wow, I might be a visitor in a church I consider home, because I see some faces I have not seen before. And that just fills me with joy, although my brain for some reason was in alegría, because I've been having a lot of practice in Spanish recently. But praise God for that. Shefflin, thank you for sharing the scripture reading today. You know, isn't that just amazing, right? When you think about the fall of that son, right? To take his inheritance, to go run off, go waste it, and just hit rock bottom. How many of you have hit a rock bottom in some way in your life? Maybe it wasn't in the pigsty. Maybe you weren't sleeping and eating the pig grog. Maybe you ended up in the brig if you were in the Navy. But we can all relate to that story to some degree. But how about what came after? Right? That conviction, the repentance, the return to the Father, even though he was weighed down by those feelings. Now, it doesn't say he was weighed down by guilt, but that's part of that process too. But ultimately, to not only confess, but to be forgiven, to be welcomed back. More than welcomed back, he was restored and honored as part of the... Well, let me get to the illustration. If it was our Heavenly Father, the divine family, right? But what happens if guilt keeps you away or me away from that promised restoration? You know, when I was a little kid, my mom had this beautiful glass. When I say beautiful, it was just breathtaking. It had the most darkest blue you ever saw that just went up into the lighter blue, lighter until you could just barely see it. With this amazing little stem, kind of like a wine glass, but it certainly wasn't a wine glass in my mind, because these things were never used. Maybe sometimes on New Year's Eve, maybe, but we couldn't touch them. Now, I don't know why I was so fascinated with this glass. Maybe it was because my mother's favorite color. Maybe it was because it was her favorite glasses. Who knows? I just love this thing, and what do kids do? Well, let's go before breaking. They take and play with what they shouldn't. Well, this little boy may have been handling it one day. Oops. It broke. Whew. I remember like it was yesterday. I was terrified. Not because I was scared of consequence, but it was that thing. I broke it. What am I going to do? I had to run and hide, and I was just off, and it was quiet in my house. Now, if you know anything about me, let's do some imagination here. There was never a quiet room or building with me in it. Something was up, and I knew someone knew. So, hey, it felt like an eternity, but I had to go have a little chit-chat. And, you know, I had to let her know. Mom, I am so sorry. I know this was I didn't mean it. You know what's interesting? She took this glass, threw it in the trash, gave me a hug and said, "That's just glass. Don't you ever do it again." Thank you, Mom. But with that being said, I'd like to transition to a famous playwright called, his name was Noel Coward. He was a playwright in London pulling a fancy little prank. What was his prank? Well, he said, "I'm going to write an anonymous letter to 20 high society individuals, saying something to the effect of, Everybody has found out what you're doing. If I were you, I would get out of town. Supposedly all 20 of these individuals left town quick. Now, what if you opened your mail one day and found a note like that? All right, let's be real. What if you opened your text, that ain't even it. What if you just went on your Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever you call that stuff, and oh yeah, I know, y'all like Snapchat and all that other stuff. I'm not about that. But what if you opened whatever your communication device is and you saw a message like that about something you did? What if you opened that message, it didn't say anything, right? It's anonymous, but what goes through your mind? Are you thinking about those taxes you cheated on? Are you thinking about that content you were exploring online that maybe you probably shouldn't have been putting your mind to? Are you thinking about that person you lied to and caused great harm? Or how about this? I want you to take a second and close your eyes and think of something you have done that you would not tell the person sitting next to you. Now imagine if that was the thing you were thinking of in this anonymous letter. And no, Pablo, you don't have to literally tell the person next to you. So I got a question this morning. What is guilt? You know, guilt is the dread of the past. We all have pasts. That pain that wells up inside of your heart, that feeling you have inside when you have committed, when we have committed an offense or failed to do something we knew was right. You know, in some ways, it can feel like phantom pain. Wait, what's that? Well, phantom pain, so that's like when someone loses their limb, like an amputee. For example, during the Civil War, that was a common treatment for gunshot wounds. They would just take the whole limb off. And phantom pain is when you can still feel the pain of the limb even though it's not there. So in a similar way, people, you and I, can be haunted by the memory of something we did years ago, decades ago. The memory never seems to leave. It can cripple the enjoyment of life, your devotional life. Or how about this? Your relation with others. You can live in fear that someone might discover that past. So you could work overtime trying to prove that to God that, yes, Lord, I'm truly repentant. Absolutely. And just work to overcome and just try to do it. And then sometime unintentionally just create a barrier around themselves from God's grace and mercy. You know, guilt can be one of the most crippling burdens people can carry. Think about that. We've all been there. But in particular, unresolved guilt, that one that's there, that one that can weigh on you emotionally, mentally, and physically, spiritually. But before we dismiss every feeling of guilt as something horrible and horrific, we need to recognize that conviction can be constructive. It can be used to build you up and get you out of that spot. Conviction's kind of like an alarm going off, right? It's letting you know something in your life needs attention. It's kind of like when you're sleeping in the morning, you know, you're just perfect in that spot. Maybe you're cuddled up next to your significant other and you just want to be there forever and you got that panic. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, that was my second alarm this morning. The Holy Spirit can bring us face to face with our sin. Not to drive us away from God, but to call us into repentance and reconciliation. So, how can we relieve the pain of guilt? Let's explore that. So, I have a little bit of a confession to make. That our focus text today is actually Psalms 32. And I'm going to read that to you before we go. I'm going to refer to it throughout the sermon. But the Lord called and said, Brad, you are trying to make the scripture fit your message, and I need you to have your message fit the scripture. Amen? Amen. So please turn to Psalms 32 with me. And to start off this morning, I will be reading from the New King James Version. Give me an amen when you get to Psalms 32, whether it's through the physical pages or if you're scrolling through that favorite little rectangle digital glowing thing that keeps you up later at night than it should. I know you're laughing with me because we're all there every night. Hopefully not all of us. Beginning in verse 1, Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long. For the day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So, of all people, think about this now, of all people, David certainly had a good reason to be guilty, did he not? Now, Psalms 32 doesn't technically identify the specific occasion or what he was feeling guilty for. Many have connected it with David's repentance following his sin with Bathsheba, right? And not to unpack all of that, but in case anyone's not familiar, he essentially had a desire for her, had relations with her while she was married, and ultimately there may have been a little bit of a pregnancy situation and the husband was sent off to war to die. There's much more to it to that, but that's just for those who are unawares. Now imagine the guilt he must have felt, but what overcoming that guilt would have done. He writes, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Psalms 38:4. But David also knew what it was like to experience release from guilt, did he not? Psalms 32 shows us just that, shows us how David responded to his sin and how he found forgiveness and release from guilt. I just want to take a moment to talk to the audiovisual team. I feel like this mic is getting hit a little bit. And I would like to go to the pulpit mic, please. Hey, you know, sometimes you have to be willing to adjust and adapt. And I think the fancy word they use in the corporate role is being agile. So there we go. We'll exercise our muscles there. I want to thank the people up there that you can't see. And for your benefit, hopefully we'll stop all that rattling. Okay, where were we? So, Psalms 32. It shows us how David responded to his sin and how he found forgiveness and release from the guilt in God. Now, first, let's think about this. Admit your guilt. Have we all seen the downfall of some politicians, business leaders, you know, like people high up in there? Well, by the way, that's not just exclusive to today, to certain countries or certain parties or whatever the popular discussion might be. It's a story as old as time, right? And it is, and isn't it interesting that when people are caught, what is the first thing they do? They're gonna try to sidestep that accusation and actually admit what they're doing? In a minute, they're gonna play some games, move around. That wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. They blame others. They make accusations. Or maybe become blinded by their own self-righteousness. Oh. You know, several years ago, there was a TV... Wait a minute. I feel like I'm dating myself right here.
Please forgive me. There was a TV preacher that went before his congregation. Now, special note, this wasn't just to the audiences on the television away. It was the congregation in person, too. And with tears streaming down his face, he cried out, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." David made the same type of acknowledgement. He said in verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you." Gordon MacDonald wrote, "We cannot expect to live healthily in the future when the baggage of the past keeps banging away at the trap door of our minds, demanding our attention." So the first step on the road to recovery from being weighed down by guilt and to get that relief you're looking for is to admit the wrong in our lives. You know, there's a lot of support groups up there that have the traditions like Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm sure you all have heard it, right? They have their members come through and admit their struggle. And in fact, my stepfather, who was a lifelong alcoholic, did find release from a program like this for about a little more than a decade of his end of his journey. And I remember him telling me, because I guess it isn't just a thing people talk about, they begin every single meeting by saying, "Hello, my name is, and I'm an alcoholic." Might seem silly, it might even seem basic in some way, but also it can make sense. It makes sense that we ought to be able to acknowledge the same basic truth as Christians together. Think about it. "Hi, my name is Brad. I'm a sinner." Now, as much as I don't want to admit or even say that yes, sometimes my life gets a little out of sync. You know, I would love to say, "Yes, I'm perfect. I have never sinned and I never will. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And there's only one to whom we can come to ask for forgiveness, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes, you know, when I think about my life, it's like that beautiful picture. You all have that family member, or maybe you're that one, that beautiful picture on the wall that you're just proud of. Maybe you bought it, it was fancy, or it caught your eye. It has meaning. Maybe it was passed down. But when people come and look, they're like, "There's something wrong with this picture. It's crooked." You see, and guilt can arise when our conscience, awakened by the Spirit of God, recognizes something is wrong, just like that picture. God's law has been violated. We've dishonored him. Something deep within inside us recognizes it. And we feel that recognition, that realization, as guilt. Confronting it. Next, David says, "I did not conceal my iniquity," in verse 5. You see, he stopped trying to hide his sin. Guilt has to be confronted in order to be dealt with. We cannot overcome it while continuing to hide from the reality of what we have done. Think about that thing that you wouldn't tell your neighbor. Imagine if it was raging inside of you right now. Maybe some of you are sitting there today and you're like, "Is he talking to me?" No, I'm not doing any talking. The Lord is talking to all of us. The truth is, if we don't deal with the guilt, that guilt's gonna deal with us. It's gonna break us down. It can affect us psychologically. Think about that moment when that thing was fresh in your mind and you couldn't shake it. How did it hit you between the ears? David said, "When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long." Remember when you were in that moment. And if you can't remember that moment, praise be to God you didn't go through this experience. David could not have had done, correct, let me go back. David couldn't get what he had done out of his mind. It was that bad. He woke up with it. It followed him day and night, gnawing, biting. It wouldn't let go. It's like a ravenous lion jumping in for that piece of meat because it hasn't eaten in 8 months. That's an illustration. But to the biggest point, think of this. It can affect you spiritually, no? Absolutely. For David said, "For day and night, your hand was heavy on me." Sin separates us from God, period. It disrupts our relationship with our Creator. But God, He doesn't abandon the sinner. Regardless of how you might feel and how you may be unworthy of His love and attention, He does not abandon the sinner. He calls us to repentance and offers us reconciliation and forgiveness through Christ Jesus and Him crucified. How many times are we going to continue to keep this guilt onto ourselves as if God can't see it? How many times are we going to try to continue to carry our own cross when we can't even pay the debt? Jesus and Him crucified has paid it in full. The first step to lightening that load of guilt is to admit to God what we, you, me, have done wrong. He calls us to repentance. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. I think this guilt can affect us physically too, no? Oh, yeah. Think about it. David said, "My strength was drained as in the summer's heat." I want to take a visual, just a second, of that heat. I know there's some people out there that might be in that Florida panhandle right now feeling that heat. Maybe you're in North Carolina watching online. Maybe you're in Tennessee or the state of Missouri, where I went to go serve as a drill sergeant for a couple summers. By the way, that was 100 degrees for 2 months straight. The type of heat that just, you put that water on the cement and you just see it evaporate, right? You know what I'm saying? Say amen if you feel it. Well, guess what? That heat, that water evaporating, David describes as his strength being drained away just like that. That, brothers and sisters, guilt can do to you. And we know carrying unresolved guilt can take a physical toll. And let's go into a little couple of mini details here. You can lose your appetite. Have you ever been in a spot where you're like, "I'm not eating"? How about sleep? That might fade away. And if you already have sleep problems, sleep plus guilt, good night. You're going to have bags worse than me. But the weight of the guilt truly can wear you down and cause physical issues. That's why, amongst a whole host of reasons, we can't ignore our guilt and just let it hang there. It has to be confronted. You know, not long ago, I gotta save my spot. I definitely know this really well. In preparation this morning, I always get lost on this one. You know, my son, he's been in the Army for a couple of years now. Now he knows, hey, this isn't for me, big picture. I'm gonna come home next year, Lord willing. Can't wait to see you next summer. But he had to give me a call. He gave me a call because he was being weighed down by something, right? Because he remembered when he was home, he had a certain routine that he liked to follow to be close to the Lord, and he loved it. He was on fire. He was ready to go serve. And he was like, "You know, Dad, you know, I'm over here. You know, that wish and that desire hasn't changed, but my whole life is different. And doing the things I want to do, it's very difficult. And I'm just feeling like the things I wouldn't do or don't want to do are easier than the things that I know I should do and I really want to do." And I could heal that struggle. On one side, he's talking about the awareness of eternal consequences. And then on the other side, talking about the mercy of God's grace. And then guilt was somehow getting mixed up in between. You know, but as we kept on talking, something began to click. And the answer wasn't for him to punish himself until he felt right with the Lord to keep on going, to get back what he wanted to do. You know, the answer was much simpler than that, and he is self-identify. Yeah. It's to keep the eye on the prize. "You know what, Pops? I got to talking to you," and I didn't even get to give him any advice. He's like, "Nope. It's the small stuff. It's pray. It's start moving towards God with the simplest step you can take and take that step. Pray. And then take another step. And then take another one. Trust that when you turn your heart to God, you're turning it to a Father who wants you near him. Think of the scripture reading this morning. What did that father do when he realized his nasty, filthy, dirty son, literally because he was living with the pigs, by the way, and sleeping with them, was coming to him? He ran to meet his son. God is knocking at the door of your heart. Christ is there asking to be let in. How much more does our Heavenly Father want to run towards us and embrace us? He's crying and pleading for you. So please, stop punishing yourself. Stop holding that cross yourself for the very things you have already brought to the Lord in faith in Jesus' name. You know, looking back, I probably should have brought the glass back right away to my mother. Sorry about that. You know, that conversation stayed with me, just going back to my son, because it helped me realize how easy it is for guilt to do something that God didn't intend for it to do. Instead of moving us toward him, when we hold on to it, it acts like a repellent or barrier separating us from him. But that's exactly why we have to learn to trust God's forgiveness, even when we don't think we feel it on the inside. So the truth is this, that if we don't deal with guilt, it's gonna deal with us. Confess your sin. You know, David said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." The next step toward recovery, you got to tell the Lord how it is. He knows you got the dirty clothes under your bed. He already knows about that rotten lemon you hid behind the computer and you're just leaving to rot, or whatever the secret concealed sin is that you just can't deal with at the moment. He already knows it. You know, in fact, you know what the word confession means? To agree with. Wait, what? When we confess our sins to God, we are agreeing with him. We agree that we have rebelled against his authority. We agree that we have missed the mark and the standard he set for our lives. We agree that something twisted inside of us needs to be straightened out through his love, his forgiveness, and his presence. But our confession does not earn God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is possible only through one. It's possible because Christ in him crucified what he did for us on Calvary. He died the eternal death that I deserved so we can have forgiveness. We confess because we trust his grace and his promise to forgive. When we bring our sin honestly before the Lord and confess with open heart to receive the forgiveness he has already made possible through his son, Jesus. And as we learn to trust this, as we learn to trust that forgiveness, that's when the burden of the guilt can begin to melt away like a block of ice. And that block of ice is very important to me because I can't tell you how many times I've had certain things from the past. Or even if it's not a sin against God, it could just be, hey, have you ever borrowed money from someone? How about this? Let's keep it simple. Have you ever borrowed someone and due to no fault of your own, just something happened and you just couldn't return it as planned? What do you feel like on the inside when that person calls you? Literally just to say hi in the morning. But what is that feeling? Or they send you that text and you leave them on delivered because you don't want to confront it, right? Well, guess what? We can melt that ice. All right, I got to go visual. So I'm a little bit of a sports fan, and at some time I may have been a little bit too much of a sports fan, and something related to sporting, that someone made a big, giant ice statue of the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell. They put this ice statue out there, and it's on YouTube. You can look it up after, and you could see it. They have a time-lapse video, and it's just melting slowly, the strong thing, and it's like not going, not moving. Oh, no. Drip, drip, drip. Is that statue there today? Because you see what? Guilt is just like that block of ice. Kept in a dark, cold place, it remains hard and permanent, and you can't get rid of it. But when it's brought into the light, praise be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ, identified, confessed, and placed into God's hands, that, brothers and sisters, is when it can begin to melt away and you can feel the freedom of forgiveness. How many times does holding on to that guilt prevent you from being who you truly are in Christ? Well, you felt that call to witness to a brother or a sister, to go out and to do that thing, or you were asked to serve in a ministry, but you still have your block of ice. How many times has that prevented you and changed your life and your decisions? Think about that. Why don't we just put that ice in the sun and let the sun do what it does? Amen. And there is freedom. When we are no longer frozen by that unaddressed guilt. When we confess our sins to the Lord, he promises to forgive. He lifts the burden. He covers our sin, meaning he forgives it and doesn't count it against us. The debt is canceled. Now, it did come with a price, and we do know that. But I think I would like just to refer you to Isaiah 1:18. I have a couple of verses from Isaiah and one from John. I would love for you to note down and just reflect upon those this afternoon. Isaiah 1:18 says this, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they should become like wool." I didn't prepare for this, but I just got to ask you a question. Have any of you seen a sheep before it's shared? Just all the oils and the dirt and everything that's there is just clumped together. It does not look white at all. It is dirty. It is a mess. But when you shear it off, what is revealed is the most brilliant, beautiful, pristine white you have ever seen. When it says wool here, in contrast to that red crimson, we're supposed to think of the realities of the actual animal. That is miraculous. God can do that to your sin. If we ask for forgiveness and accept Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like that clear conscience too? Wouldn't you like to know your debts were paid in full? Wouldn't you like to know that your sins are forgiven? I don't mean head knowledge. I'm talking about heart knowledge, where you feel it. We can. In 1 John 1:9, the word says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There's no categorizations there. There's no list of special sins. Absolutely not. If we come to the Lord in faith and confess our sins to him, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, those are not my words. Those are the words of the Lord. David said, "You took the guilt away from me. You took away the guilt of my sin." God forgives our confessed sins if we can stop living under their condemnation. When God forgives us, wait now, listen, he no longer holds our confessed sins against us. Wait now. In Christ, we do not have to continue carrying that burden. But why do we keep doing it anyways? You know, when I was working on my bachelor's degree, all right, so I had a long weekend one weekend. there I was. I had a drill weekend. I was still in the Army, so that meant Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm off doing the little Army thing. Not a lot of sleep at night. Sunday night, I came home after that long weekend of work, which followed a week of actual work, right? I had to work my part-time job, the pizza joint at night. So I got home, I sat down, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the next day, I had to turn in a paper. Now, I'm a history major. I love history, but this is my last credit, and I really didn't need anything else. So I was like, I'll take Chinese history. I know nothing about it. I've always been fascinating, and man, that was a challenging subject, let me tell you, especially when you don't know anything about it. Wow. So there I am, 1 a.m, working away for hours, getting this paper done. Guess what? The computer froze. Maybe it's in the cloud. That didn't exist yet. Maybe autosave was on. I was a dinosaur and refused to try new things at that time in my life. I tried to go, I was looking for, gone. Did a little reset, we got it done. I don't think there was much sleep, and then I went, turned it in, and I had a whole day full of finals. Now, can you imagine the panic of that moment, the trying to get back, the trying to get myself where I needed to be, and that distress I must have been in the moment, and then ultimately to come through the other side? Whew. David experienced all that, but something better. When he confessed his sin to the Lord, God forgave him and lifted the burden of the guilt. Forget that computer story and then that feeling after. Imagine the Lord forgiving that sin you're holding on to right now. That's impacting all aspects of your life. Well, if it's true for David, it can be true for you, for me, for we. When we confess our sin, God faithfully forgives us and cleanses us from unrighteousness. We need to trust God's forgiveness and refuse to remain trapped under that condemnation. Here's that other verse in Isaiah, and we're coming to a close like right now. So stay with me now. Our other verse in Isaiah, I would like for you to note down for later. So we said what? We said 1 Isaiah what? 1:18. And now we're also saying 1 John what? 1:9. And now we have Isaiah 43:25. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. And I hear some of you were like, oh, I heard he said 2. I'm keeping Isaiah tabbed. Okay, I got you. I like how you think. The word says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Did Brad say that? I mean, theoretically, I read it, but these are not my words. This is Isaiah 43:25. Please go and contemplate on this later and take it to prayer to the Lord. You know, I got to confess, there's definitely been times in my life when if I received a note like that chop in London did when we talked at the beginning of the sermon, if I got one of those notes, I would have been one of those fellows that ran out of town. I didn't always have my life together. And I'm not saying every day I do. We all have challenges and struggles. But the one thing I do know, even when there are times where I may have felt spiritually paralyzed, maybe says someone today that feels spiritually paralyzed on the inside, even though on the outside everybody looks good and you're smiling, you know, we can understand what David meant when he described the guilt, that burden, being too heavy to bear, you know? And when I would find, thinking about my own journey, find myself going back to God over and over and over again to ask for forgiveness. God, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And then I'm there the very next day, pleading with tears and just being crushed by that guilt. But somewhere along the way, in one of those moments, God helped me see things more clearly. I began to understand something very, very, very clearly. I didn't have to keep trying to convince God to forgive what I had honestly already confessed. See, I transitioned there. I'm talking about sometimes we had something that come up and we bring it to God with good, honest conviction, we ask for forgiveness. But we get up the next day and it's still weighing us down. Maybe someone right here could still break down and cry if you think about it. Listen with me, we're finishing right here. As much as I could trust his promise to forgive, you can too. God can forgive you. Christ can give you that freedom, that liberation you're looking for. Even if you think it's impossible, the problem wasn't impossible for Christ. Christ's forgiveness surpasses all understandings and is sufficient. See, the problem isn't that I was struggling to believe that the Lord's grace was really sufficient for me. Mm-mm. Christ already paid the price. He already gave the totality of himself. The Father opened the storehouse of heaven and sent the finest that he had to offer, Christ Jesus and him crucified. And he would have done it just for you. So the reality for me, because I'm making this personal, and I hope you can relate, Christ gave me the freedom when I personally stopped trying to earn his forgiveness for what he already paid. I needed to trust his promise and rest in his grace. So I got a question for you, and you don't need to externally answer. How many of you have that guilt weighing you down right now? It might not be against God. It might be against a brother and sister. It might be even against someone you don't even know in person. It could be someone you only know digitally through technology somewhere else. Only you know, and the Father knows too, that weight that's in you right now. I want to say there is hope for you. The hope is in Jesus. If we can only but humble ourselves before the cross and confess our sins and have faith in the one who came, died, resurrected and rose to the right hand of the Father to one day return and bring us all together to worship face to face from Sabbath to Sabbath, from new moon to new moon, as it says in the book of Revelation, so shall we be with our Father in heaven forevermore. Brothers and sisters, this is not something you need to wait for when you wake up and see Christ's face, or when you look up and see him coming in the clouds, for that day is coming critically soon. Today is the time. It is the first day of the rest of your life. Time is short. Why wait for tomorrow? Why wait for eternity? Today can be the day you return to Christ. Today can be the day you allow him to live in you fully. Today can be the day you take guilt and throw it to the cross, where Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and asking you to let him in and abide in you. So we can become a new creature and resemble our Savior. Amen. Heavenly Father, Rock of Ages, the great I Am, we come before you today with a heart of gratitude, an appreciation, an awe of the Almighty. As sinners, we come before you filthy, like a sheep with its unshared wool. And we ask for your forgiveness for our sins. For our sins necessitated the price paid at Calvary. And we will have eternity to study and learn what love drove you to go such lengths to save a wretch like me. Oh, Father, Lord, there's someone here right now within the sound of my voice. Maybe there's two or more that are weighed down by the guilt of past sins and actions. Lord, they're hurting on the inside. They're crumbling on the inside. Their brains hurt. They physically can't feel it. They're sick. It's impacting them and everyone around them, Lord. May you touch their heart and may they know you're there. And our prayer is that all of us may fall before you, fall in front of the throne of mercy on our knees, and confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, and to stand up and to sin no more. Lord, we understand the time is short and you're coming soon to bring us all home. And we just ask with each day, with each moment, tomorrow's not promised, we ask that we can walk step by step, hand in hand with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loves us, who hugs us, and may today as we leave this place truly be the first day of the rest of our lives without that sin, that guilt that's been weighing us down. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.